Welcome to Making Bank. I am Josh Felber, where we uncover the success strategies and the secrets of the top 1% so you can amplify your life and your business today. I'm super excited and honored to have today's guest on Making Bank. I want to welcome Yannick Silver to the show. Yannick redefines how business is played in the 21st century at the intersection of more profits, more fun, and more impact. Starting with his first million-dollar idea at 3 o'clock in the morning, he has bootstrapped seven other products and services to the seven-figure mark from scratch without any kind of funding, taking on any debt, or even having a real business plan. That's the way entrepreneurs roll. So, Yannick's story and business have been featured in Wired, Time, USA Today, Smart Money, MSN Money, Entrepreneur, Fox Business News, Worth.com, and Wall Street Journal, among many others. He is also author of several best-selling marketing books and tools, including Maverick Startup, Instant Sales Letters, and 30 Rules for Maverick Entrepreneurs. He was named one of Entrepreneurs Magazine's top 50 favorite online marketing influencers. He is also the founder of Maverick 1000, a private invitation-only global network of top entrepreneurs, industry transformers. This group assembles for breakthrough retreats, rejuvenating experiences, and giving forward opportunities with multiple icons throughout the industry: Sir Richard Branson, Tony Hawk, Chris Blackwell, Jean-Paul DeJoyer, Tony Harris, Russell Simmons, and Tim Ferriss. He is also co-founder of Maverick Local, bringing together communities of entrepreneurs to transform their cities. Yannick, I want to welcome you to Making Bank.
Yeah, thanks, Josh. Yeah, sort of have you go through all that. we could have just said he's a dude that that did a couple things and now is ready to share some ideas.
Well, cool.
I appreciate the intro.
And no problem, man. I want to just recognize you.
I guess that was maybe a earlier version than you just got the new book, Evolved Enterprise, which, you know, I bet we'll get into and talk about. And that's the one I'm really excited about.
Cool. Well, I guess for our audience, they have no idea who you are. And fortunately, I've been around some of the same circles, so I'm familiar with you. But tell us a little bit about who you are and really what makes you Yannick Silver.
Yeah, I mean, probably my story really got started. I got to give credit to my parents, who came over from Russia when I was 3 years old and brought me here. And the immigrant success story is pretty prevalent in our history, where my dad ended up starting his own medical equipment sales and service company without really knowing how to speak English and very little command of the English language. And I grew up working for that company. So I got a chance to cold call when I was 14 years old, you know, telemarketing when I was 14, 16, I was cold calling. The deal is I got a car if I did that. And I realized that cold calling really sucked. And I was just really fortunate to get exposed to a guy named Jay Abraham and then this idea of direct response marketing. And from a very early age, I was just enthralled with this idea. Could I write ads or letters or, you know, fax broadcasts at that time when they're illegal, like to have doctors actually raise their hands and talk to me instead of me cold calling on them. So I got really good at that and took my dad's business from a small sort of regional player to a national business and pretty soon got the itch to go off on my own and started off working with doctors and helping them get more patients. And then the internet came along, and that was at 3 o'clock in the morning idea that you mentioned. That was the next thing. And that created this whole other world and business, teaching other people how to take their information and knowledge and sell that online. And then about 9 years ago, kind of looked at my life and I was like, you know, I'm not totally happy. And, you know, I think there's something more I could be doing, which led to the whole Maverick Group and the putting together the pieces for Evolved Enterprise.
No, and that's really awesome. I know some of my friends are in Maverick or have been in Maverick and have done a lot of different things with you, and they speak so highly of everything that you're doing. And so it's exciting to learn about a little bit more about Maverick, if you can kind of fill us in, because I know you work with different thought leaders and helping people make a bigger impact in the world.
Yeah. So Maverick really stemmed from, like I said, that moment in time. I call it a cosmic alarm clock, when you have this, you know, you can hit snooze and ignore it, or you can really wake up to this idea that there's something more and that you're really built for, designed for, maybe even destined for something greater. And what that really usually requires is taking stock of everything that you've done already. So all your resources that you built, your network, your connections, your business models that you figured out, everything becomes ground level for what could be next. And that was the journey of a lot of journaling. I'm a big, journal fan. I actually got my journal right here, which this is a new one, but journaling to me is one of the best sort of
that's awesome
of really working through your thoughts and ideas. And inside my journal, I came up with these three interconnected circles, which originally started as a dollar sign, a happy face, and a heart. And you put them all together, and that was what Maverick was. But so the essence of that has never changed, really, but the expression of it has changed. It originally started as like just adventure travel trips for entrepreneurs, and we do business sessions in the middle of nowhere or wherever we were, and then maybe a charity component built into it. But it took about $400,000 to become this bit of a slap on my head, and my wife's like, "What the hell are you doing?" For me to really realize, there could be something. Is there something more here? And if just sure. building your travel company, that wasn't it. And that's when it turned into Maverick 1000, which is more of a collective network.
Okay. So I guess tell me, what were, I guess, in your life, what were three life defining moments?
One of them was for sure when I learned about copywriting, direct response marketing very early on, like the having skills that have give you the ability to leverage yourself.
Sure.
That was a big one. The other for sure was making my first sale, I think, online. Just this idea, because I still consider myself a bit of a techno dunce. That might be overstating it a little bit, but I still, even to this day, having started back in 2000, which I thought was late, which is pretty funny, because I had friends who were like online since 93, 94, 95 doing things.
Wow.
And really, really early on, and so that idea of without having technical skills, could you take something that was in your head and sell it? And just having that first sale come in was really life changing for sure. It was like this culmination of wow, this works.
Yeah.
and then I'd have to say the third one was really that change, that cosmic alarm clock, that idea of our dreams and our destiny kind of whisper to us. It's not this big loud scream. It'll continue to get louder if we ignore it. Or I even think like if we're not doing the work that we're meant to do, like a little bit of ourselves really dies in that process every single day. But so deciding to follow my heart, even though, especially when it's easy when you have sort of an open checkbook, which I did at that time. And then it's harder to say, okay, it'd be much easier to say, okay, I'll go back to what I was doing in the online digital marketing space.
Sure.
There's something here, and to continue forward and work through it. And, I will say that once I figured it out and put all these pieces together, we actually turned things around and our profits went up 824% in a 3-year period. So it's like when we put all those pieces together, figured it out, when you merged, I call it merging your head, your heart, and your higher purpose, and not forgetting your happy inner child, and you really, things are in alignment and things really work in a big way.
And that's awesome. And I know, I guess, can you kind of go into a little bit more depth as this, how do you really figure out what that piece is, to make sure you are in alignment or you are headed down that path of understanding?
So in the Evolved Enterprise framework, it starts with you. So it's really, like to me, your business is always an expression of who you are and what's going on inside of you at that moment. And then for me, it really took digging deep into, when things are going well, it's easy to be like, oh yeah, well, I'll give all this money to charity, or I'll do all these things that I always said we will do. And that's what we're doing. It becomes a lot harder to live by your core values when things are going a little bit sideways.
Sure.
And really deciding that. So then it's digging deep into, okay, so what do I really care about, and what really has meaning for me? And it took exploring all of these things, and then also like re-exploring what is my biggest mission, and what did I really, really want to do? And it wasn't just to build an adventure travel company. It was our mission for our group of companies is changing the way business is played. And so when I got clear on that and the mechanism of how we were going to do it, then things really did start lining up. Like I wanted to be healthier. I wanted to, I was never unhealthy, but I was, you know, I took better care of myself. Even, you know, last 3 years I've been meditating regularly. Like that's become a big thing. So there's all these internal pieces that the better we are at taking care of ourselves, the more it reflects in every single part of our organization. And so those, that's the first things. And then, you know, the journaling piece, that's a huge one. You know, I would go back to that, and journaling has always been a big part of my life, in many ways, but over that period, even more so, like that ability to process what's right. going on, it creates a beginning, middle, and end, and it's proven to make you happier.
And so, you know, when you journal, and this is just kind of curious for me even, is do you have a process that you go through to, I guess, so you get into that flow, or, and then do you go back and review those at a certain point?
Yeah, I mean, it's so individual, like, you know, you can do whatever you want with it. But for me, I just find that I'll just start writing. And then usually what I start writing about is not what I end writing about. right. It's usually, you know, it's processing so much. As entrepreneurs, we have all this stuff sort of floating around in our heads. And again, it creates this beginning, middle, and end, and it forces you to go through it. And I love like the serendipity of going through old journals, and just flipping through and being like, oh wow, that was a good idea. I know, you know, some of my friends are more organized, where they actually have journal number, page number, topics right. that they talked about in there. But I use my journal for everything, right? So ideas, and ideas really grow. Like if you'll see some of the, you know, the big thinkers throughout history kept journals, especially to work through ideas and concepts, because sure. the way they start isn't the way that they're going to finish. And so that's one part, you know, the journal in the beginning, middle, and end of the story, I'll write my gratitudes in there, like what I'm thankful for and what I appreciate. And that has a huge difference in your worldview.
Yeah, no, it's definitely, and that's one of the things I know even every day we try to practice with our kids is, you know, at the end of the day, you know, hey, you know, what are you grateful for? What do you, and we go through that. And
that's awesome.
So, you know, and you notice it, and they try to get into the same thing where they almost repeat the same thing. Like, okay, guys, here, what would you say from here? And really try to get it to change up and stuff. So,
yeah, and no, I think that's great. And the more specific you can get them, the better. And, you know, because, you know, my son will be like, oh, recess.
Right.
I'm like, no, what, you know, what exactly at recess happened? And so, you know, make them think about it. And then, I mean, this is a little bit off topic, but it really does. Like, I think entrepreneurs, our whole lives are intermeshed with everything else going on, not just our business, but we have actually, we call them 13 silver keys, which are 13 values that we use as a family. And,
oh,
and
cool.
we intentionally go through them once a week, kind of like Ben Franklin's 13 virtues.
Right.
So, I think that anytime you can introduce intentionality in anything that you do, whether it's a morning routine, whether it's, you know, the way that you raise your kids, whatever it is, and no matter how small it is, it helps in a big way.
Definitely. And I mean, that's one of the big things for me is just really being proactive from a family standpoint and really trying to create that. And so that's really cool. You said it was the 13 keys. Is that what?
Yeah. Ours is called 13 silver keys. And we actually enrolled the kids, to help create them. So it wasn't just dictated upon them. It was their, they had input on what they are and what they look like.
That's awesome. One of the things I noticed, in your book, you talk about being exceptionally different.
Yeah.
I'd love to hear a little bit more on that.
Well, so there's a great book by a Harvard professor, whose last name is Moon. I think it's Young Me Moon.
Okay.
It's literally, that's the title, is different. And so I've done this forever in our businesses, and it's like, I don't know, it's just my natural way of thinking. So when we had our underground seminar, which was bringing in real world people who were making, you know, doing really well online to show what they're doing, and they weren't people who were teaching or selling how to make money online, that was a massive sort of difference in that point where the marketplace was kind of the same internet marketing seminar, same speaker, same sure, kind of thing. Sure. And that really, you know, grabbed our audience's attention because it was so different, and it was completely, again, different than what they were seeing. And so I always consider, okay, how do we have that difference? And then how do we accelerate that difference? So I own a Mini Cooper, and you know, they accentuate that difference by, you know, by the fact that they are small and they enjoy being small. Now they've gotten away from that a little bit when they added a mini SUV model, which is still small. It's like a small little SUV, but for the most part, they've held incredibly true to their brand and who they are.
And so what, I mean, I guess, what would you, you know, for entrepreneurs out there, what is the best way for them to kind of really create that exceptional difference?
It's usually around one or two key categories. It's like, you know, a lot of times we try and compete by adding more and more features or additional pieces. Sure. That are going to be like, well, you know, that competitor has this thing, so we're going to add this to compete there. This competitor has that, so we're going to add that as well. And then it just becomes a little bit better than a mediocre offering. Maybe better than mediocre, but to really be different, it's usually accentuating one particular thing and really, really stressing that. One of my friends is Sally Hogshead, and she just came and presented to our Maverick group, and she has a whole process of fascination. And one of the things that she showed was an old ad campaign that she did, which is for a steakhouse that was competing against, you know, Morton's and Ruth Chris and all these other steakhouses. And they were competing by really just amping the fact that they were a steakhouse for carnivores. And they're like, you know, even one of their ads that Sally created for them was like, you know, we don't have any sides. There's no vegetables here because we feed them all to the meat that you devour. Or something like that. You know, it's just like so over the top.
That's cool.
That's how you really, you know, you get into a spot where people either like you or you know, you want to repel or attract people. And by being in the middle, you're not going to do it.
Yeah, definitely taking a stance on one side or the other, and then moving forward for sure.
And that also builds a community of people who, you know, what I talk about in Involved Enterprises is community of, we call them sort of brand advocates and zealots who really want to spread what you're doing. And to me, that happens even more so from not only accentuating your difference, but by adding an impact or a cause to what you're doing.
And then what, you know, you see like all the different companies now and everybody's attaching themselves to a cause and aligning themselves just to do it, you know, I guess, you know, what do you feel about that? And then I guess how would the best way for a brand that really wants to make an impact go about moving forward in that direction?
Yeah. So you bring up a great point, Josh. There's a trend I call, you know, going from transactional to transformational to even transcending what business can be. And at the transactional level, it really is just that. It's like there's no loyalty. There's no real deep mission attached to what Sure. they're doing. And it's really more of like a window washing or in the charity industry, like for breast cancer, since breast cancer has the pink color associated to, they'll call it like pink washing or green washing if they want to add an right. ego element to their brand. And so there's not a real genuine, authentic place that it comes from. And in today's interconnected world and a lot of, not even a lot, but almost full transparency, it's going to come out. And KFC was the recipient of this recently, a couple of years back, when they tried doing pink buckets of chicken with 50 cents going to breast cancer research and for Susan G. Komen, and they had a massive backlash, pretty much as well as they should have, because I mean, A, it wasn't authentic. B, I didn't even realize what the connection was until one of my friends was like, well, so breasts of chicken. And oh, and then also the fact that diets high in saturated fat have been linked to cancer. So it really didn't have this authentic tie-in, and it just hurt them as a brand. So it has to come from that genuine place, and you can kind of get away from it or get away with it for a while, but to really right. make it work, it has to be in that core aspect. And inside the book, I definitely talk about companies that get it right and don't get it right. And there is, you know, this growing movement because there's massive amounts of data showing that consumers are willing to either pay the same and switch brands or pay more even for a brand that has a mission or impact into what they're doing. And then also team members like employees, especially millennials, are willing to even work for less if there's a a purpose behind the company. So it's happening from the inside out and the outside in. And so big companies and small companies too are realizing this, and they want to get behind it and on top of it. But if they look at it as simply a tactic, it's never going to work.
Right. And what's the best way, do you feel, that you've seen to be able to be authentic about it and to really, you know, I guess, align, you know, with what the values in the actual mission is? You know, I guess aligning, let's say, my company's mission with somebody out there to make an impact and make a difference.
Yeah. I mean, for you, so, you know, the show Making Bank, right? So about empowering entrepreneurship, I'd assume, is, right. You know, for us, that's what ours is, changing the way business is played. So all our impact is under this umbrella of entrepreneurship. And okay. So all the cause partners that we work with, everyone. So for instance, our most recent sort of connection is with Village Enterprise, which we've been working with them for years and years, but they, for $500, they can train, and get a micro enterprise off the ground in East Africa. And oh, wow. So decided that we would take on this challenge of actually building an entire village of strategically thinking about 50 different micro enterprises that are complementary and can help each other and develop an entire village of these micro enterprises. So that becomes the cause that we're aligned with for the release of the book. And we have this, you know, unique package that we have in there, including a piece of jewelry that's designed by the same group of artisans that would be benefited there. And so you can wear that and it becomes an artifact that you can have on your wrist that you know, reminds me of the good that you've done. So that's sure. A way of kind of tying it in. There's a couple other companies that I really love that have done this in a great way that maybe people haven't heard of as much. You know, there's the Tom Shoes and Warby Parker and others that have become right. Pretty big names, but there's others that are really exciting out there, like a company called Elvis and Cress, created by two designers in the UK that were walking down the street and saw all this fire hose that was going to be thrown out. And they're like, wow, A, that's really incredibly sad. And B, this looks like amazing material. Let's do something with it. So they turn them now into dop kits and belts and keychains and, you know, you name it. And then what they do, the authentic tie-in, is that 50% of their profits goes to firemen charities.
Okay.
Is that fire people? I don't know what the exact I don't know, but you get the drift. So there's a really nice authentic tie-in, and I love that. There's another company in there that is really exciting called Ultra Testing, and what they've done is hired people on the autism spectrum scale to be their employees and testers. And this company will do quality control testing across multiple browsers and so forth that you need for software and different interfaces.
Okay.
And they do that because what could be a disadvantage, they're turning that into an advantage, because, you know, stereotypically, people on the autism spectrum scale are more willing to work with tasks that are repetitive, they pay more attention to detail, and so forth. So it becomes this advantage. And, you know, to me, that's a really exciting way of having a deep, deep tie-in with the impact.
No, and that's awesome, because I think, like you said, it is part of it, I think, is really finding the companies. There's so many of the big companies that are out there with like you said, the breast cancer foundations and those ones that everybody sees every day. And I think by aligning or finding maybe these smaller enterprises that are aligned with what, as a business owner, my mission, my, you know, what I'm looking to do and how I want to make an impact, I think creates, like you said, more authenticity and that connection with your audience or my audience, or, you know, as our audiences as entrepreneurs.
Yeah, no, it's super exciting. I mean, I had one of my friends who was in the healthcare space, and they sell, you know, believe it or not, a deal to get rid of parasites. And so, you know, not an exciting kind of thing that you want to talk about and think about, but, you know, they've done well. And then he's like, well, you know, we're already making impact, so I don't really see why we should do this, but I'll give it a try. And then they added an element where they're giving away treatment to, I think, three people in Africa, every time they buy their product. We saw 100% difference in their returns. He saw advertisers like approaching them, giving them discounts. He saw, you know, partners like going after them. So it was like it was a total like change in their business, and they're reworking everything around this evolved enterprise model. So it's really exciting to see in different aspects.
That's awesome. And then, so you guys, are you're re-releasing the book? Is that what you said?
Yeah. The book, the new book is out right now in hardcover. The one you got is soft cover. That's like version 1.5. So this would be version 2.0. And nice hardcover. And
awesome.
And, you know, on the website is a special limited edition package that goes to support that village with the micro enterprises that we're funding. And then I don't know when this is going to air, but at the end of February, it's going to be available on Amazon and in bookstores.
Okay. Awesome. And then, so if people go in there getting it through Amazon and the bookstores, does still donations go to the mic, or is that just through the special promo on the website?
Just through the package on our website on evolvedenterprise.com.
Okay. Awesome. I guess maybe three success or action steps you'd say, hey, you guys, if you're going to do this, go do this today.
In what aspect? Just getting going or to apply some of these concepts?
Apply some of these concepts, I guess, you know, from your evolved enterprise or what three things that maybe stand out to you that people should take action on.
So I'm a big fan of questions. Like, to me, questions really dictate your answers. And then so some of my favorite questions that they could ask themselves is one, what would my 111-year-old self tell me? Is maybe my greatest work. And sort of a crib from a guy named Brian Johnson from Philosopher's Notes. He talks about your 110-year-old self, but I like a number alliteration. Yeah. I think he got someone else as well, but I always give him credit. But that really forces you to think, you know, way out and make decisions from more of a legacy standpoint. And the other thing is Brené Brown's book, Daring Greatly. She talks about this idea of what would you do even if you knew it would fail? And that, you know, that's one of my favorite questions because it forces you to unattach yourself from outcome.
Right.
Times you've heard, you know, I got 6 months to live, what would you do? Or if you knew it couldn't fail, what would you do? And to me, that's not quite the right thing because this is what would we put our full life into even if we knew it would quote unquote fail? And
sure.
When you align your full heart and soul into something, it's pretty rare that it fails, or the byproducts of what shows up are even greater. And then the third thing is to start journaling and tap into maybe your heart a little bit more and start thinking about, okay, what would I really want to be doing with my business if I really had the opportunity to reinvent and rethink what I was doing, if everything up till today was like baseline for what was next, what would that look like?
Cool. No, that's awesome. Hey, guys, I hope you're taking notes. Yannick is delivering some awesome information. Some great, as he mentioned, it's all about how you ask the questions that you ask and is going to get you, you know, the answers or lead you down that right path of coming up with the solutions for, you know, for what you want to achieve or where you want to go in life. We got a few minutes left. What kind of legacy do you want to leave for future generations?
Yeah, so I've thought about this. So I have as my lifetime goal is year 2100 to help solve or put a dent in 100 global issues that could be solved or helped through business. So, you know, anything from like we do a lot of work in Haiti, so orphans in Haiti, to, you know, micro enterprises in East Africa alleviating poverty. So I've been part of I'm on Virgin Unite's board, their Constellation board. And I was there during the global goals release in at the UN in New York, and the global goals, it's either globalgoals.org or .com, but they have 17 different global goals that businesses are behind, and it's something that we can all align what we're doing with. And last time when I talked to Branson about this, he actually had a really great suggestion, and it was the first time I ever heard him articulate it in a super clear way, which was, imagine if every business actually adopted a cause in some way. And, you know, so you've all seen the, you know, adopt the child thing, but
right.
You know, it really was, we adopt one cause and every business, you know, went to work chipping away at that and incorporated it in that authentic way that really, you know, touch on every aspect of who a business can touch. So it's our team members, our community, our customers, you know, the reach that we have. And it could be really, really exciting. And again, my thesis and the data is proving this out is that when you have that impact, it actually improves bottom line. So it's not just altruistic. It's not just feel good for feeling good sake. It's like, this is ROI pragmatic. It raises our bottom line.
No, that's awesome. So tell us, where can people find out more about you? Where you said there's a link for the book?
Yeah, the book is at evolvedenterprise.com. So evolved with a D. And then I blog occasionally at yannicksilver.com. So Y-A-N-I-K, silver.com.
Awesome. Make sure you guys check out yannicksilver.com. The link's right over here. And Evolved Enterprise as well. And purchasing through the site here will then, money will get donated for the micro business.
Yeah, actually 100% of the proceeds goes to that project. So it's really exciting.
Awesome. That is definitely. And what's one last thing you'd like to leave our audience with before we get a wrap up?
You know, I think that this idea of following your heart is frequently scary, but it's never wrong. And it's like, whatever, you don't end up in the same spot that you even think that you're going to end up in, even regardless of where you kind of see your vision and what you're going to do. Like the byproducts are immensely more powerful. Like, imagine that life has even more in store for you than you even believe is possible. And that's really exciting.
That's awesome. And I have like so many more questions, but since we're at, well, I'll have to have you back on again for sure. But it was an honor to have you on Making Bank today, hearing about what you're doing, some of your insights, and being able to create authenticity and aligning with making a bigger impact for sure in the world. And so I really appreciate your time today and coming on Making Bank.
Cool. Thanks, Josh.
I am Josh Felber. You are watching Making Bank. Get out and be extraordinary.